I'd like to call the Atascadero Planning Commission January 6, 2009 meeting to order. First order of business would be, Dan, would you mind?
Pledge.
Oh, wait a minute. We got to do a roll call. No, we'll do the pledge it's first.
The pledge.
Yeah.
Well, please rise. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner O'Grady. Suzanne, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Commissioner Hetherington?
Present.
Commissioner Moreno?
Here.
Commissioner Bentz?
Present.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Here.
Vice Chairperson O'Grady?
Here.
Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson O'Grady?
Yes.
Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
This is the time set aside for public comment, and this portion of the meeting is reserved for persons wishing to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda and over which the commission has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. The commission may take action to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Is there anyone wishing to speak? Seeing none, bring it back to the commission. Next item is planning commission business. Does anyone have anything? Okay. The next item is the consent calendar. And there's two items I wish to pull, and does anyone else wish to? I wish to pull item 1 and 4. Does anyone else have anything?
Item 5, please.
Item 2.
We're almost pulling. Wait, really? Okay. Well, we'll go in order. Item number 1 on page 4. Was Mr. Thewitt spoke against the expansion of the Busy Bee Daycare Center because he lives next. Item number 1.
Item number 1. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else have any other?
On number 2, Claire.
No, before. Okay.
I'm sorry.
We're okay on number 1. Could I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
As amended?
Second.
Okay.
Second.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
I was not part of the minutes. Abstain.
Yep.
Commissioner Ben?
Abstain.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson O'Grady?
Yes.
Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 3-0-2.
Okay, the next item would be the special joint meeting on Wednesday, November 12th. And I think that was Pamela?
Was that the first meeting or the second meeting on the basin plan?
I believe that was.
I don't think I was present for that one. I could be totally wrong, but I don't have any recollection of that.
This.
Okay, I take that back.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on item 2? Could I have a motion for approval?
Abstain.
Commissioner Bentz?
Abstain.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson O'Grady?
Yes.
Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 3-0-2.
Okay. Item was, did we pull item 3? That was the only one. Well, so we might as well. Could I have a motion to approve item three?
You don't need to have attended to just approve this. These items were noticed as commission and council meetings just so that the commission and council had the opportunity to attend if you chose in a quorum. So because there was these very informal minutes that were done, we're just trying to conclude that, you know, the record. So you could just approve them even if you didn't attend.
Thank you.
I guess we really need to, don't we? Because we wouldn't be here.
That would be best.
Okay.
Could I have a motion, please?
I'll move to accept.
Okay. Second?
I'll second.
That was Commissioner Hetherington moved and Commissioner Marino seconded. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson
O'Grady? So if we could make that correction. Could I have a motion to approve, please?
Yes, I'll move to approve subject to the correction articulated by Chairperson Jack.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Suzanne, roll call, please.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson O'Grady?
Yes.
Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0. And a correction on those other two motions, that was 402 and 402 with the two abstentions.
402.
And items 1 and 3.
One.
That's why I heard it.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't recall any negative votes, okay. So I think that's correct.
Yes, that's correct. Okay, Commissioner O'Grady, you asked to pull consent item number 5.
Yes, and often I do pull items that ask for an extension because I think it's informative to the community to understand why a project is not going forward, and so perhaps staff would have information about that.
On this project, they just don't have the money to move forward right now, so it's really an economic that's going to push it out. An extra year.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Move approval for item 5.
Second. Anyone want a second?
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Benz, second by Commissioner Marino. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson O'Grady?
Yes.
Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is a tree removal for 5171 Vega Avenue. And before I go on, I would like to make a comment regarding the scope of this, and it is strictly related to trees. And if it doesn't do with trees, it's out of our scope of responsibility for tonight. Also, I would ask for any ex parte that may be applicable to this item. And I'll just start with the left, Commissioner Sturdivant.
Yes, I've spoken with Mr. Carter about this project.
Well, I visited the site but did not speak with anyone.
I had no contact.
No contact.
The property is located at the corner of Ardea and Vega Avenue. As you can see here on the map, it is a residential single-family general plan designation and a single-family residential Z zoning. The site is heavily wooded with blue oaks, live oaks, and valley oaks, and it slopes steeply downhill from Vega and Ardea Road and has a relatively flat area, about 14%, towards the center of the site where the house is proposed, and then the steeper slopes are up towards the road, and those go up to about 24% slope. It's just over 2 acres, and it's currently vacant. This is a site plan of the proposed residence. So you can see the driveway comes off of Vega Road or Vega Avenue, and there's a proposed open area for RV storage and parking just off the road. There's a fire turnaround at the bottom of the driveway. The residence is approximately 3,000 square feet, and then there's a backyard area that's proposed behind that. There's a detention pond and a leach fields and expansion area located at the bottom of the site. And the owner has incorporated retaining walls along the driveway and tree wells on the downside of the slope to try to save as many of the trees as possible. These are some photos of the site. Here you can see where the proposed RV storage and parking is located at the top of the hill. The driveway goes down the hill sort of at an angle at about 18% slope, and then the proposed building pad is one of the flatter areas of the site. This is a section drawing of the proposed residence, and they've incorporated stem wall foundation in order to try to work with the slope of the site, and that's enabled them to have some storage space underneath the little bit in the backyard area. Most of the rest of the site, they were able to work around the trees. There's one tree on the site that's larger than 24 inches. Trees over 24 inches require Planning Commission approval, which is why this is triggered Planning Commission hearing tonight. And it's tree number 67, which is located in the driveway. And there are 6 additional trees on the site, which will be impacted 40 to 45%. And typically what we do with those is we bond for them, and then we release the bonds 2 years after construction if the trees were able to survive. 40 to 45% is a lot of impact for a tree, and we don't always know if they'll be able to survive. So that's how we ensure that the contractor is careful around those trees. And I wanted to point out that the owner in this case has gone through several revisions on the site plan. They actually have 3 separate arborist reports on file, and they've been able to reduce the tree removals from 39 trees at almost 400 inches in diameter down to 30 trees at under 300 inches. This is a tree mitigation fee chart showing the size of all the trees and the total mitigation fees. The owner is proposing to replant some trees on site. It's already a very heavily wooded site, so they're able to fit about 23 trees on the site, and the replanting plan has been approved by the project arborist. And then in addition to that, they'll pay $3,125 into the tree mitigation fund. In addition to that, they'll do a mitigation deposit of another $1,400, and that's what we will keep as bonds for the trees that are heavily impacted, and that can be refunded. The tree removal permit that you have tonight has several conditions of the city that the mitigation fees are paid with the building permit, and therefore the trees can't be removed before the building permits are issued. So that's a standard thing that we do with all tree removal permits. And the utilities will all be located within the driveway and outside the native tree trip lines, and then the tree protection fencing will also be installed. This is the finding that was shown in your staff report as the appropriate finding to make tonight for tree removal. And staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution as proposed. And that concludes staff's presentation, and the applicant is here in the, if you have questions.
Thank you, Kelly. Any commissioner questions or comments? Commissioner Hetherington?
This may be a question that I should be asking the applicant, but where the solar panels are identified, do we have any idea how many additional trees will come down?
Right now, they're not proposing to remove any trees for the solar panels. I believe that the only place that they show up in the plans that is on the tree protection plan, and it's drawn in there by the project arborist. So what I believe they were doing was trying to make sure that they could get solar panels in there and route them around the trees without having to remove any. So currently, as you can see from this plan, there aren't any removals proposed to install the solar panels. They would need to apply for another tree removal permit if additional trees needed to come out.
So it could be the case that they would come back and ask for additional removals?
They could come back if they needed to, and that would require another permit like this.
Okay. Callie, could you put the aerial photo back up there and kind of draw me from the air down where the major impact of tree removal is going to be?
Probably right
about.
And
that'll be clear cut there, correct?
Do as much grading and retaining walls around there.
I guess I can't help but think that the solar panels on the house would be a better fit because they're already taking trees out. But I'll save that for the applicant.
Commissioner O'Grady.
Good evening, Ms. Taylor. Atascadero is known as the Tree City. In fact, I think there's a mayoral proclamation to that effect. What significance does that have or should that have with respect to this application?
Well, we do have the Atascadero Native Tree Ordinance, which triggers tree removal permits like this and the hearings for large tree removals. However, at the same time, we don't limit building on sites when it's possible. So it's to give you an idea, we have two sites further down the road from this on Ardea that we actually heard at a planning commission hearing this last year. So this is consistent with other approvals in the neighborhood.
Okay. In scrutinizing the plan drawings that were provided, I see that there's a CU, a common utility trench that goes up the driveway. Which utilities will be present in that trench, and which ones will not, that may have impact on trees that is not indicated on these drawings?
Typically, they're able to route all utilities through the driveway, except for the sewer and or not sorry the sewer the septic lines for the leach field, which will be down.
A convenient access to the driveway. So, I was interested in what the impacts of the electric service might be, and also I was concerned about the natural gas line. I assume there will be natural gas service to the property, and it's the owner's natural gas line. And putting natural gas line under a paved driveway, in my experience, has not been desirable because of the consequences of a gas leak under a paved surface. So I'm wondering if that's really not the way it's going to end up, and if there might be other impacts to trees beyond what's indicated in the staff report.
Based on the plans, it's difficult to tell. It just has it says common utilities. It doesn't specify each separate one. They haven't gone through building permits yet. This is only in the planning stages. So it's difficult to tell if there might be other things that arise. They would need to get a tree removal permit for any additional trees that need to come out. But typically we route these right next to the driveway, and it's not a problem.
Okay, so if I understand what you just said then, if there are utilities that will not end up underneath the driveway in the common utility trench that impact trees, we could expect that to come back for our consideration.
If they're severe enough to require a tree removal.
Okay.
Anything else, Commissioner?
Yeah, yes, I do have some others. I'm just trying to collect my thoughts here. Okay, I believe you said that tree removal could not commence. Probably be what do I want to say? What do we just have, a continuation or a
time extension?
Time, thank you. Yes, a time extension. My concern is that for the neighborhood to have trees removed, grading started, and then nothing happened for a significant period of time. In order to prevent that, do we need to add a condition, or is that taken care of in other ways?
It's a standard procedure that we don't allow tree removals until they pick up their building permit. In the case of for the time extension that we just looked at, that was for planning stages. So the time extension was to delay their final map. They haven't even come in for building permits on that site yet. By the time somebody comes in to pick up their building permit, typically they're ready to build because they have to pay all their plan check fees, and it means their plans are done and they're actually ready to go out on site and build. There are some circumstances where somebody will start building on a site, do the grading, and then go into foreclosure or something like that, so the site isn't finished. We do see that happening right now, but that's not really something that the city can get involved in because they've already picked up their building permit, started their construction, and so it's not really under our control.
Okay. In walking the street, I thought that was in the project is in the urban reserve and would be served by city sewers, but unless I missed it, I didn't see a manhole cover or anything. And so are the sewers away that require a septic system and disturbance of trees?
Yes. Unfortunately, they're just outside
the driveway, and the choice to access the site from Vega. One of our findings that's required in order to approve the project is that it's the least reasonably impactful approach. If I hope I said that correctly. And so in looking at the grades and the way things slope, Ardilla is actually at a lower elevation than Vega. And the driveway actually kind of parallels Vega and a portion of Ardilla. And I'm having difficulty understanding that long length of driveway, which traverses a significant part of the site, is actually a better approach than a much shorter driveway that comes off of Ardilla. I don't see a north and south, east and west arrow on the map, but I guess that's sort of to the southwest maybe. But, you know, we're the low part of Ardilla down at the bottom of the drawing. And so I'd like either staff or the applicant to address that and illustrate why this very long, impactful driveway is less impactful than a shorter one would be. Continuing on with the driveway, when I walked out there, there was a driveway already started, and it looks, I didn't measure it, but it looks like it's about at the same place where this driveway is proposed. So has construction already started, or what's the, I don't understand.
I don't believe that there's.
Thanks, Ms. Taylor.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Hetherington, did you have a question?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes, I'd like to ask Warren a question. Warren, this is a tree removal permit. It isn't what we've been discussing somewhat outside of the realm of the commission?
It definitely, your decision tonight is just limited to tree removals.
Yes.
However, you do need to make the findings that they've limited the tree removals to the extent possible. So there is some room for debate about the site plan, and I think probably the applicant can address some of the slope issues as to why this site design was required for this project.
Thank you.
Any other commissioner questions? One question, Callie. Is this an original colony lot?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. I'll see no more questions. I'd like to open it up to the applicant. Please state your name, please.
Tom Carter, and currently live at 6201 Monterey Court, right around the corner from this lot. All right, to kind of address some of the things that were brought up, all the utilities will run down the driveway to minimize impact on the trees. There's really, if we put them outside the driveway, there's going to be more tree removals. And with the new generation gas lines, and that was a concern when we used steel line, but now it's shown there. But if I may,
we can't hear you.
That's a 25-inch tree, and what triggered this hearing is anything over 24 inches, so that's 1 inch. And the trees in that area is so heavily wooded down at the building site that, you know, the trees have really impacted one another in such a way that there's a lot of, it's kind of turned into a tinderbox because there's a lot of dead growth. I don't know if you noticed that when you were down in there, but cleaning those out would help with the health of that. But the health of that tree on a scale of 1 to 10, the arborist has labeled that as a 2. That 25-inch tree is on a scale of 1 to 10, the health is a 2. So there's some definite thinning that needs to happen there. And let's see. As far as the sewage, if we were to pump it up the hill, if we were going to up the hill, we'd have to put a pump in, a sump pump system, which, the septic would be much better there. And then as far as the access from Ardea, because it's Vega doesn't go through, so it's a cul-de-sac, very little traffic there, and it's slow. Also, there's no way you could get a 20% road because the cutoff's 20% now on driveways, nothing over 20%. And I looked at that so many different ways. I mean, I brainstormed that every which way, and there's no way you can get a road off of Ardea that would be 20%. I tried it a lot of different ways, and it's just, I couldn't do it. And by the way, I have a degree in landscape architecture from Cal Poly, and we study grading and drainage there. And so I am familiar with different ways to look at lots and brainstorm and come up with the best viable way to access. And so the other thing is the, I think that was that all of your concerns, pretty much?
I think when you're finished speaking, then we will have an opportunity to ask questions. So okay. I would defer response at that time.
All right. Right now, Steve Alvarez has told me that the site is 90% covered with trees. That's pre-construction. Post-construction will be at 85% is his prediction there. So there's a 5% reduction in coverage on the site. There are right now currently 30 trees called out for removal. And with the use of tree wells and just careful construction and monitoring, I think we can bring that down is to beautify the cities I work in. And really the impacted trees, I don't think there's not going to be that many of them that aren't going to make it. I think that most of the impacted trees are different than the removals. So those trees are going to be fine. I'm certain of that because of the tree barriers and just the practice of the construction practices that we have. So I'm going to turn this over to Stephen whenever he's ready. Or how do we do this now? Oh, question time.
Okay. Commissioners, anyone have any questions? Commissioner Hetherington?
Drawing, you have a kind of penciled in solar panel array. I walked the site. I could not imagine that you wouldn't end up taking out probably another dozen or so trees in order to get the proper lineage for the sun to supply the power. Had you not thought of putting it on top of the house where you're already going to clear cut?
Yeah, I did. I thought of that. And if you look at the way that the sun travels across that site, which I've studied it, and the position of the home is such that the position of the home, because we're really limited, this is a very challenging site, and we're very limited clearing on the site where there's enough of a clearing to have the panels. They wouldn't lay flat on the slope. They would have to turn it about 25% to the south and actually be on the slope but angled. I don't know if you've ever seen solar panels installed that way where they angle each individual panel. Yeah.
Believe me, I've seen a lot of solar panels.
Yeah, so that's the way we would do that. There would not be another tree taken out.
I find that almost incredulous. Could you go over again why the driveway to Ardea is not acceptable? I can see the safety factor, but there's measures that you can take as far as rounded mirrors and that to see where traffic is coming out of a driveway. Lots of people use it. Why you're not considering that?
Well, my address is 5171 Vega. Why wouldn't I use Vega?
Because if you used Ardea, you wouldn't take out as many trees?
And I don't understand. I don't see a path on Ardea that's even capable of taking getting a street in at 20%. I don't see that. There's 20% slope maximum.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way that you can come up. Some of those slopes going up to Ardea, well, Callie, do you have an estimate what some of those slopes might be?
I think those were some of the steeper slopes on the site, probably around 24% coming off of Ardea right there. It kind of makes it a little bit of a fishbowl.
No, I'm not talking Ardea.
Yeah.
Does the property line go to Ardea down further?
Yeah, the property line is right around here. And
believe me, I would have. There's some beautiful oaks. Just as the driveway goes in and then turns down the hill to the left, there's some beautiful oaks right on the left, and I wouldn't dream of putting my driveway through there because those would have to come out. There's also a telephone pole right on the corner of Ardea and Vega, which services the whole telephone line, the power line down to all the way down Ardea. There, it's in a perfect line. So all the other telephone poles actually rely on that one, and they have a guy wire that goes down, and that's supporting the whole line of telephone or power poles down through Ardea. So that would be the only other place you could come in.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes, good evening, Mr. Carter. You do indeed have a challenging site, and if it's challenging for you, it also means it's challenging for the Planning Commission to try to evaluate the right thing to do here in accordance with the many laws that we have to deal with, the general plan, the tree ordinance, or two. And so... You've addressed my questions about the utilities, running them under the driveway with the plastic gas line. Although I did have a plastic gas line fail, fortunately, it was in dirt, and I was able to dig it up. Somebody put in a 90 and stressed it, and after planting new trees. What size trees are you proposing to plant?
15-gallon.
Okay. What kind of DBH does a 15-gallon tree have?
I'm sorry. Repeat that.
What the staff report talks about the DBH. Excuse me. Removal of trees in terms of DBH, and so I was trying to correlate the replacement of the trees. Diameter breast height is what I think it means.
Oh, you mean specs? The specs on the trees?
Yes. I'm asking, what are you proposing to plant? You said 15-gallon, but I can't correlate that with DBH, and I was asking you to.
I think the question is what would be the diameter of the trunk of the replacement trees in a 15-gallon pot?
Oh, okay, the specs. All right. Thank
you.
Yeah, I'm speaking contractor language, not planning language. So, it's the height in the ground, you're at 7 to 8 feet. And then the canopy head on a 15 It's probably 2 to 3 feet diameter. And then the caliper of the trunk, you're at about 2-inch caliper.
Okay.
For many other ornamental trees, 15 gallons or larger, but oaks are very slow growing, and so they tend to be a bit smaller.
Yeah, that's one of my concerns as far as mitigation by planting.
I've having got a car
having
here.
Having them survive. I'll see you afterwards. This may be a twofer for you tonight. but you see my concern. Are we really? You know, as I say, you're more of a special case with your background than the average homeowner might be as far as the survivability of the trees. So, is there something special that you would do to let these trees live that we're mitigating here? Or,
well, the trees that we're mitigating, I would plant those, and standard procedure if you're planting 15-gallon tree is you dig the hole 1.5 size times the size of the root ball. And it's a little different with native oaks because they don't like a lot of composted amendment. So we usually cut our amendment in half. And we don't use a real strong, like a triple 15 fertilizer. We usually use like an Osmocote slow release that delivers, because the natives, they don't really do so well with high doses like the ornamental plants would. And so these trees require a slower release, and they will live because in the summer we will water them. So they will get supplemental water with drip irrigation in the summertime until they're established. Once they're established, that'll be abandoned because it won't be required after that.
Okay. Another option that the
Commissioner O'Grady,
yes.
Could I ask the point that you're trying to make on this?
If you had thought about a portion of the site to be allocated for a conservation easement and whether you had discussed this with city staff or not.
It came up at one point. I don't remember who I spoke to. We have plans to, my daughter wants to run goats on the open area, and so those would be, it also helps with weed abatement. So that would be left open. As far as, I don't think I'd be interested in allocating a portion of the site for that at this time.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Commissioner.
Question for Callie. On the planting of the trees, isn't there a bonding that if they don't survive in the first 2 years that they are replanted?
That's not something that we typically do on just an individual house. If it was a larger project and they had extensive mitigation to do, that's something that we do on that size of project, but on something this small, with when we're only looking at 23 trees, and the ratio that they get for this really isn't a whole lot. They have to plant 1 5-gallon tree is required for every 6 inches of tree removed. So overall, they typically wind up, you know, planting a lot more trees than they're taking out in this type of mitigation. So I believe in this case, the 23 trees that he's planting only covers about a quarter of his mitigation fees.
So 5 years. And did you say that 25-inch tree was in the house site and not in the driveway? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, so it's down the drive is more, looked like more kind of like smaller kind of trees. They didn't look all that healthy going down in that area.
Well, there's one tree that's a beautiful little tree. It's maybe, I don't know, six. I don't know the tree number, but it's very small. But it's a great little tree, but it's right in the middle of the driveway. So that one will have to go, unfortunately. But with tree wells, but that's actually the only one in the middle of the driveway, the way we planned it. There's only one tree in the driveway. Mm-hmm. But the other ones are impacted by fill mainly and cut. But fill in particular on the downhill side. So many of those trees with tree wells I think we can save them. I have high expectations for those trees on the downhill side.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Carter, I have one. Has the fire department looked at this driveway? And I am assuming that turnaround is for the fire.
I've talked to Tom Peterson twice about it. There is a 6-foot retaining wall, and we're trying to keep the retaining wall at human scale for the site. Right at the peak of the driveway, you can't see it here, but there is a template overlay for the fire department for their turnaround overlay, and there's a couple feet that hang on to the onto the retaining wall. I've talked to him. He's said he would sign the plan to be good, and otherwise he said it would still be okay.
Okay. Was there any other comments that you wanted us to be aware of before
with
I...
With Tom Peterson?
Pardon?
With
the, No. With your presentation, Mr. Carter.
Oh.
Because what we would do, the normal course would be for... Once you're through, that we'll open it to the public, or if there's any public that wants to comment, and then we'll bring it back to the commission.
Okay, yeah, I think I'm okay.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone from the public that would like to weigh in on this issue at all?
Steven Alvarez, ANTR Brist, 1565 El Camino Real. Wanted to address the Planning Commission and let you know our focus of this project as we have been dealing with it. When we were first presented with it, we met Tom, the applicant, and visited the site and looked at it and came back and gathered all of our data on it and labeled all the trees and came back with Tom with some suggestions that could help in saving some trees. And at that point, the count went from 39 trees to 30 trees. And he moved the utilities down the driveway, moved the driveway itself a little bit, adjusted the house, moved what we have worked on in the city, including Paso Robles area, it's been a real experience for us. We learned a little bit with Tom on this one as well. Going forward on it, it looks like a very good project to me in the way the applicant has worked with the city staff and us. It's been one of the easier ones to deal with the way Tom manages his self. He's in the industry, he understands, you know, the habitat. He understands the biology to a good extent. And looking at the whole project as a whole, I'm just guesstimating that the surface area of the lot is probably covered 90% of canopy. And I know the numbers look high on the trees, and in just quick review and discounting the one tree that's beautiful to Tom in the middle of the road, you're looking at 15 trees that are less than 10 inches, and these trees belong to the under canopy of that forested area on the north slope where it's really thick. And when those are removed, it's not going to be, so to speak, a clear-cut perspective to me. But those are really suppressed trees, younger trees underneath the canopy. It'll clear it up. It'll lessen the fire hazard for safety in the area. And going forward with it, probably the staff's worked well with Tom and us, and it's gone back and forth, volleyed three times, and we've enjoyed working with him.
Thank you, Mr. Alvarez. Seeing no one else from the public wishing to weigh in, I'll bring it back to the commission for some discussion. Does anyone have any clarification questions of staff on anything?
I do.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes, Ms. Taylor, in reading the zoning regs and in particular the native tree regulations, there's a section on page 484 called Evaluative Criteria for Tree Removal. And I guess I didn't see in the staff report where those criteria were addressed. And so I guess I just wonder why it wasn't, or is it addressed somewhere else and I missed it, or what?
Typically in staff reports, we've never gone through every criteria and evaluated those. It's something that we could do in the future if that was something that you would like to see.
Well, it just talks about the potential effect the tree removal has on the topography, the erosion, the water runoff, surface waters. Vegetation. I mean, it just seemed like pretty important questions when we're talking about the removal of 30 trees, especially on a sloped site like this.
Step in the staff report, though, the primary thing that we're looking at is the Planning Commission finding that you make.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion, or are we ready for a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Planning Commission adopt resolution PC 2008-0056 to allow the removal of 30 native trees totaling 297 inches DBH, subject to conditions of approval.
I second.
Roll call, please.
I would like to just make a couple comments. I think this is the appropriate time to do so.
Yeah.
A couple of things that I would like to point out to the commission and to the public is that General Plan Policy 13.4 requires the city to review fees on a regular basis. Tree removal fees haven't been reviewed since, I think, 1999. I brought this up about a year and a half ago, and the council, in its wisdom, decided not to review them again until, I don't know, perhaps Director Frace knows an exact date, but it was 09 or 10 or something like that. And so if you do the math, we're liquidating trees at something between $110 and $178 a tree, which, for a tree city, gives me heartburn. This is a very challenging site, and where I might be inclined not to vote for this project because I think there might be other ways to do it. I can't figure it out. And so I think it's important for our city to get those fees updated. So thank you, Commissioner Jack.
Thank you. Suzanne?
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
No.
Commissioner Sturdivant?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson O'Grady?
Yes.
Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-1.
Mr. Carter? Next item is no public hearing. Okay. Commissioner comments and report.
I do have some problems.
Okay. Commissioner O'Grady?
Oh, 4 or 5 months ago, I asked city staff to look into the light pole eyesores, a pile of light poles on 41, about just a little bit east of San Gabriel. And I think some progress has been made. I guess there was some paperwork to be signed off on, but the poles are still there. And I wondered, Director Frace, if you had an update on where that stands.
Yes, I spoke with David Athey today about the status of that. He says he's been in contact with a contractor, which is Granite Construction and Caltrans. Granite is responsible tomorrow either, but give us another couple weeks and we'll probably get them moved.
Okay, thank you. Second item, just down the street is another eyesore. It's a bail bond sign that has reappeared. It's a truck-mounted sign in the restaurant of the in the parking lot of the El Mariachi restaurant.
It's gone.
Is it gone?
Yes, as of tonight.
But it has nine lives, I think.
I think Mr.
You can't kill that thing.
I think Mr. Frace can shed some light on this.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I know these trailer signs, they aren't allowed in the code. There's a couple in town. Our code enforcement officer continues to work on them. We discussed this morning, and that's probably why it's moved, is he went out already today to deal with it. But those are a continuing enforcement problem when they come back.
Is that a revenue stream for the city?
No.
For the owner.
I mean, do they get fined? Does it pay the salary of the code enforcement person?
I don't know if any fines have been issued on these, but no, they aren't a revenue source either way.
Any other, Commissioner Marino?
I haven't been by in about a week, but just wondering if you'd gotten an update on those boxes on the 101 southbound. A week ago they were, so.
Those are the Caltrans boxes?
No, this is the 101 southbound just north of Traffic Way. Are those Caltrans boxes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so we talked about those at the last meeting, that those are operator-owned by Caltrans. That's part of their project, apparently.
Oh, I don't remember being told those were Caltrans. It was going to be looked into. So
it was a pickup station for trash bags or something David did last time.
Oh, we'll follow on that. Anyone else? I have something. Warren and I have spent some time working on a list of training goals for the Planning Commission for the coming years. And so what I'd like to do is pass down a copy of those goals. Yeah, Warren was developing a planning agenda for us, and I have, having been on the commission now for 2 years, there were certain things that I felt would be beneficial to the new commissioners. So I took it upon myself, pulled a list together, got with Warren, and we worked over the list, eliminated some items, and this is the final list of goals, training goals, that we would like to work towards completing in 2009. These goals would then go to the City Council for review and comment, and since they're coming up on their strategic planning session and that, I thought it timely to get it going. Since this is not an agendized item for tonight, and I want to clear this with you, Warren, because you and I had not discussed it. What I thought might do
might be some of the priorities that could help us try to organize the work.
Okay, so if everyone would take one of these sheets and under your name column, just prioritize from 1 to 10, 1 being the highest priority. Here. And then you can pass those back to us.
Is this a pop quiz?
Yes. It's a drill.
we can. So as soon as we're done here. Well, we have a director's report yet.
But I mean, we could do it after.
Yeah. Yeah, as far as that goes, yes, you can. Go ahead and we'll complete it before you leave. With that, I'd like to hear any director's report. Mr. Frase?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple things coming up real quick. First of all is we any commissions to that. We have budget and funds available to take everybody down there. We'll pay basically for your travel and your lodging as well as the conference. So I'm going to try to encourage as many commissioners as possible to attend that. So why don't you start looking at your calendars? You can either let me or Annette know in the next couple weeks. The earlier we get our registrations in, typically it's a little cheaper. So if you can confirm earlier rather than later, that would be more desirable. And if you have any questions, let me know. And then speaking of commissioners, we did have the city council do interviews for the two at-large positions. Commissioner Hetherington is one of our at-large positions, and I think tonight will be her last meeting. The council has voted to appoint two new commissioners. The new commissioners will be Dennis Schmidt and Chuck Ward. So their first meeting will be on January 20th, which is our next meeting. So they'll be sworn in at that point. Other items that are coming up. Let me go through my list here. Right now, our list of agenda items for the 20th is fairly light, so we probably will be doing the swearing in, and then based on how you guys vote on your training priorities, we'll probably be discussing doing some just basic training and housekeeping items with the Planning Commission if we don't have any regular hearing items. And that will conclude the director's report.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Warren, I'm going to that conference.
Great.
Myself.
We'll put you down.
Only myself.
Okay.
By train?
No, I'll drive down.
Okay.
Okay. Then could we come back to the prioritization? Because I'd like to have that finished up and turned in tonight so that we can compile it, and then Warren and I can get together and review it. No, if you put it under your column of your name, I'll know who it is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. And with that, we're adjourned.